Welcome to Aviation Intelligence Weekly with Sarah and Mike, your guide to the aviation industry. Welcome to Aviation Intelligence Weekly. I'm Sarah, joined as always by Mike, and today we're diving deep into Hexel's second quarter 2026 10Q filing, dated July 29th, 2026. Hexel, ticker HHCANCEL, is one of the world's leading advanced composites manufacturers. Carbon fiber, prepregs, honeycomb core, the materials that literally hold modern aircraft together. Mike, let's get into it.
Thanks, Sarah. And before we go line by line through the numbers, let me give you the one sentence thesis for this filing, because I think it crystallizes everything we're going to discuss today. If we reduce this filing to one sentence, it's this. Hexel is finally harvesting the operating leverage it has been building through years of supply chain pain, and the widebody ramp is the engine driving that harvest. That's the story here.
And where does that put them in the cycle?
Based on this filing, Hexel is operating in mid-cycle expansion, not early recovery. The commercial aerospace ramp is clearly underway and showing up in the numbers, but not late cycle peak either, because management's own language points to continued growth ahead, particularly on wide-body platforms. We're in the acceleration phase, and the margin trajectory confirms it. We'll come back and test that thesis at the end.
Perfect. Let's start with the material changes, because the headline numbers here are genuinely striking. Walk me through what shifted between Q1 2026 and Q2 2026.
So the XBRL data shows revenues going from $501.5 million in Q1 to just over $1.03 billion in Q2. That's a 105.5% increase quarter over quarter. Now, before anyone panics or gets overly excited about that sequential jump, we need to contextualize it. The filing is also presenting six-month figures, and when you look at the full first half of 2026, the picture is more coherent. First half commercial aerospace sales of $679.3 million increased 18.5% compared to the first half of 2025. That's the real signal. Sustained double-digit growth on the core business.
And operating income?
Operating income went from $57.6 million in Q1 to $130.2 million for the first half. That's a 126% increase. But again, the more instructive comparison is year over year. Operating income for the first half of 2026 was $130.2 million versus $74.2 million for the same period last year. That's a 75% year-over-year improvement. For a composites manufacturer where Hexel's gross margins have historically hovered in the low to mid-20s, this is a meaningful step change.
And gross margin specifically?
This is where the operating leverage story really comes alive. Gross margin for Q2 2026 was 26.1%, up from 22.8% in Q2 2025. For the full first half, it was 26.5% versus 22.6% in the prior year. Management was explicit about the driver, and I'm quoting directly from the MD&A here, the higher margins for both the second quarter and 6 months of 2026 compared to the prior year periods, quote, benefited from higher sales leverage. That's the causality chain in management's own words. Volume up, fixed costs spread over a larger base, margins expand.
Now, let's apply the causality chain forward. If that sales leverage persists,
then the margin story gets even more interesting. If commercial aerospace build rates continue climbing and management's language supports that expectation, Hexel's fixed manufacturing cost base gets diluted further. The risk is the inverse. If Boeing or Airbus production rates stall again, as they have in recent years, that leverage unwinds fast. The filing itself acknowledges this, noting that Hexel has, quote, in the last several years been impacted by delays in aircraft production rates related to, among other factors, global logistics, supply chain destocking, and other supply chain constraints. So management is not pretending the past was smooth. They're flagging the history while pointing to current improvement.
Let's move into management commentary signals, because I want to understand the tone here. Is this a confident management team or a cautious one?
I'd characterize the tone as cautiously optimistic with specific pockets of genuine confidence. On the commercial aerospace side, management is clearly leaning forward. They identified growth across all four major platforms in the first half. And I want to be precise here because the filing is specific. The Airbus 350 and Airbus 320neo, and the Boeing 787 and Boeing 737 Maxall showed sales growth in the first 6 months of 2026. That's broad-based. It's not one program carrying the load.
That's significant for a composite supplier, right? Because different programs have very different content levels.
Exactly. The Airbus 350 and Boeing 787 are wide bodies with extremely high composite content. These are the programs where Hexcel's materials are most deeply embedded in the airframe. When management calls out, quote, sales growth was driven by the Airbus 350 and Boeing 787 wide bodies. That's not just a revenue line item. Those are the highest value programs in Hexcel's portfolio. Narrow body growth on top of that is volume leverage. So you're getting both the high margin wide body ramp and the volume driven narrow body recovery simultaneously.
What about the defense side? The tone seemed different there.
It was. Defense, space, and other sales declined 7.2% in Q2 2026 and 5.8% for the first half. But management was clear about the cause. The September 30th, 2025 divestiture of the Austrian-based industrial business. So this is a portfolio cleanup story, not a demand problem. Management actually expressed a positive long-term view on defense, stating they see, quote, strong demand in the defense and space market as global defense budgets continue to increase as a result of an uncertain geopolitical environment and the development of new platforms. That's a forward-looking statement, but it's grounded in a real macro trend that management is explicitly citing.
And the Middle East conflict? How did management address that?
Carefully. They said they are, quote, actively monitoring the markets and are taking actions to mitigate near-term impact to our cost base. They acknowledge limited direct exposure currently, but flagged that a prolonged conflict is, in their words, likely to precipitate cost and logistic pressures as well as inventory challenges. That's measured language. They're not dismissing the risk, but they're also not sounding alarm bells. It reads as a genuine disclosure rather than boilerplate.
Let's shift to financial red flags and confirmations. From a cash flow standpoint, what's the picture?
This is actually one of the more encouraging parts of the filing. Net cash provided by operating activities for the first 6 months of 2026 was $96.7 million, compared to a cash use of $5.2 million for the same period last year. That's a swing of over $100 million in operating cash generation. The driver was higher net income combined with lower working capital consumption. Working capital was a $72.2 million use of cash in the first half of 2026 versus a use of $124.5 million in the first half of 2025. So the working capital drag is shrinking meaningfully.
That's a real confirmation signal?
It is, and it matters because in the aerospace supply chain, working capital is often the canary in the coal mine. When suppliers are building inventory ahead of an OEM ramp, cash gets consumed. When the ramp is actually happening and receivables are converting, cash comes back. The fact that working capital consumption dropped by over $50 million year over year tells you the supply chain is moving from build mode toward delivery mode. That's a healthy sign.
Any red flags on the balance sheet side?
A few things worth watching. Total debt at June 30th, 2026 was $959.4 million, down from $993 million at December 31st, 2025. So debt is declining, which is directionally positive. But interest expense for both the quarter and the first half of 2026 was higher than the prior year periods, and management attributed this to, quote, higher average borrowings for the first 6 months of 2026. That's a slight tension. Debt is lower at period end, but average borrowings were higher during the period, which means the company was carrying more debt earlier in the year before paying it down. the causality chain here. If interest rates stay elevated and average borrowings don't continue declining, interest expense becomes a persistent drag on net income. Net income of $49.3 million for the first half is solid, but it's growing more slowly than operating income, 32.5% versus 126%. And the interest line is part of that gap.
Let's talk about risks. The filing noted no new or significantly escalated risk factors versus the prior quarter. But what's worth flagging for our listeners?
Three things stand out from the MD&A language. First, tariffs. Management explicitly listed tariffs as a macroeconomic and geopolitical headwind, alongside inflationary pressures and global conflicts. For a company sourcing raw materials globally and selling into international markets, tariff exposure is real and ongoing. Second, Boeing and Airbus production rate dependency. The filing's forward-looking statement section specifically calls out, quote, "The estimates and expectations based on aircraft production rates provided by Airbus, Boeing, and others, and the revenues we may generate from an aircraft model or program." Hexcel's revenue is directly correlated to OEM build rates. If those rates disappoint, and they have before, the revenue line moves with them. Third, the Middle East conflict risk we discussed. Management flagged potential cost, logistics, and inventory challenges if the conflict prolongs. That's not a new risk, but it's an actively monitored one.
From a structural standpoint, the Leicester, UK facility shutdown, is that a concern?
It's a restructuring action, not a distress signal. The filing notes restructuring charges related to the shutdown of industrial-related manufacturing at the Leicester facility. This follows the pattern of the Austrian divestiture and the prior closure of the Velkenrot, Belgium facility. Hexcel is actively pruning its industrial exposure and concentrating on aerospace. That's a strategic choice, and it's consistent with management's stated focus on commercial aerospace and defense. The restructuring charges are a near-term cost, but the long-term logic is to sharpen the portfolio.
Let's move to liquidity and balance sheet stress, because I want to make sure we give this section the detail it deserves.
On the liquidity side, the picture is genuinely comfortable. Cash on hand at June 30th, 2026 was $62.2 million, down slightly from $71 million at December 31st, 2025. That's a modest decline, but it needs to be read alongside the credit facility. Hexcel entered into a new credit agreement on March 31st, 2026, refinancing its senior unsecured facility. The borrowing capacity remained at $750 million. At June 30th, 2026, total borrowings under the facility were $265 million, leaving undrawn availability of $485 million. That's a substantial liquidity buffer.
And the debt maturity profile?
This is actually one of the cleanest parts of the balance sheet story. Management stated explicitly, and I'm quoting, "We do not have any significant required debt repayments until March 2031 when the facility matures. The 4.9% senior unsecured notes also mature in 2031. So Hexcel has essentially a 5-year runway before any major refinancing event at a weighted average interest rate of 4.77%. On the facility for Q2 2026, the cost of carry is manageable given current operating cash generation. From a capital allocation lens, the company also declared a quarterly dividend of 18 cents per share on July 29th, 2026, and has $380.6 million remaining under its 2025 share repurchase authorization, though no shares were repurchased in Q2.
That repurchase pause is interesting. What do you read into that?
I won't speculate beyond what the filing says. The filing simply states there were no repurchases during Q2 2026 and notes the remaining authorization. Management did not provide an explanation for the pause in the MD&A. What we can say is that the authorization exists and is substantial, which preserves optionality.
Let's get into the segment breakdown, because this is where the business really comes into focus.
So Hexcel has two reportable segments, Composite Materials and Engineered Products. Composite Materials is the larger business, carbon fiber, prepregs, honeycomb core, resin systems. Net sales of $421.5 million in Q2 2026 increased 7.2% year over year. For the first half, $820.3 million, up 8.1%. Within that segment, commercial aerospace was the clear winner, up $39.3 million or 15.7% in Q2, driven by higher sales to Boeing and Airbus. Defense, space, and other within composite materials declined $11 million or 7.7%, again, primarily due to the Austrian divestiture.
And engineered products.
Engineered products is the smaller but faster growing segment. Net sales of $107.8 million in Q2 2026 increased 11.5% year over year. For the first half, $210.5 million, up 12%. The filing attributes this growth to higher commercial aerospace sales. This segment includes composite structures, RF and EMI materials, and specialty machined honeycomb. Products with added functionality, which typically carry better margin characteristics than commodity composite materials.
So both segments are growing, but engineered products is growing faster. Is that a mix shift worth watching?
It is. If engineered products continues to outpace composite materials in growth rate, the overall revenue mix shifts toward higher value, higher functionality products. That's a favorable margin dynamic over time. The filing doesn't break out segment-level margins explicitly, but the overall gross margin expansion from 22.8% to 26.1% in Q2 is consistent with a mix shift toward more value-added content.
Let's close with what traders and investors should be monitoring, and I want to make sure we revisit the core thesis before we wrap.
The key metrics to watch going forward are straightforward, given the filing's content. First, Boeing and Airbus monthly production rates, specifically the Boeing 787 and Airbus 350 widebody programs, which management explicitly called out as growth drivers. If those rates continue climbing, Hexcel's revenue and margin story has room to run. Second, gross margin trajectory. The move from 22 to 26% is significant, but the question is whether 26% is a ceiling or a floor. Management attributed the improvement to sales leverage, which means it's volume dependent. Third, working capital normalization. The improvement in operating cash flow is encouraging, but watch whether accounts receivable and inventory continue building. The filing noted both were higher, partially offsetting the payables improvement.
And the counter thesis, what would prove us wrong?
Two specific data points would challenge the mid-cycle expansion thesis. First, if Boeing 787 or Airbus 350 production rates stall or reverse in the back half of 2026, and Hexcel's widebody revenue growth decelerates sharply, that would signal we're closer to a false dawn than a genuine ramp. Second, if gross margins retreat back toward the 22 to 23% range in Q3 2026, that would indicate the Q2 improvement was transient rather than structural, meaning the operating leverage thesis doesn't hold at current volume levels.
And the thesis itself, does the full weight of evidence confirm it?
It does, with one important nuance. The thesis was that Hexcel is harvesting operating leverage from the widebody ramp, and the numbers confirm it. Operating income up 75% year over year, gross margins up 3.5 points, operating cash flow swinging from negative $5 million to positive $97 million. That's leverage being harvested. The nuance is that net income growth at 32.5% is lagging operating income growth significantly, and higher interest expense is the culprit. So the P&L leverage is real, but it's being partially absorbed by the debt service line. From a margin durability perspective, this equity is trading on the assumption that the widebody ramp is durable and that interest costs don't escalate further. If both of those hold, the mid-cycle expansion thesis is intact.
Mike, really sharp analysis today. Thanks for grounding all of that in the actual filing language.
Always. The filing does the heavy lifting, Our job is just to read it carefully.
That's a wrap on our Hexel Q2 2026 earnings analysis. A reminder that nothing on Aviation Intelligence Weekly constitutes investment advice. All analysis is based solely on publicly available SEC filings. We are not affiliated with Hexel or any of the companies we cover. Do your own due diligence. I'm Sarah, he's Mike, and we'll see you next week.